I think what I really want to do at the outset here is I want to start by giving a quick shout-out of appreciation to the ABI Journal, which just published what I swear feels like the 19th article on third-party releases just about a week ago. So we really appreciate all the help that they gave us. As a result of contributors like them, you'll find that our materials in the binder are incredibly scholarly, which you'll be able to tell from all of the detailed footnotes and citations in them. There is a paper in the materials, though, and I think you'll find a lot of the cases we discuss in there. I hope you find it useful. This topic came to us, it felt like, from the Fifth Circuit Bankruptcy Board of Tourism, which has been a little bit worried, I think, over the last few years that maybe the Fifth Circuit gets kind of a bad rap when it comes to third-party releases. And as many of you know, if you ever practice in New York or Delaware, you practice with New York or Delaware attorneys, you talk to them about the topic of third-party releases, and they will not hesitate to tell you that Texas and the Fifth Circuit is a terrible place to try and get third-party releases. The Fifth Circuit hates them. And so we were asked to take a look at it and see what we could figure out about it. And I think what's interesting is if you look at what the bankruptcy courts are doing, it's clear that third-party release provisions, kind of the Article 12 provisions of the plan, right? They come somewhere after executory contracts and right before the retention of jurisdiction clause. These provisions are, I won't say frequently, but not they are not infrequently being approved in Chapter 11 plans in cases in the Fifth Circuit, in Texas and other jurisdictions within the Fifth Circuit, which sort of begs the question. Because we know that the bankruptcy courts follow Fifth Circuit precedent, as they must.